Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and today I have a very special guest, Mary Shores. She's an author, and she's a Hay House author, actually, and we're going to be talking about how you can harness the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And I'm going to bring Mary on in just a few minutes here and have her tell us a little bit about her background and who she is. She is an international best-selling author of the book Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And she's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and CEO, and she teaches individuals and businesses to fearlessly create their own realities by using scientific methods and practical personal development. And there's much more I could say about Mary, but I'm just going to bring her into the studio and have Mary. Hi, Mary. How are you doing today?
Hi, Edie. Thank you so much for having me here. And I am just wonderful today.
Oh, good. Oh, and there you go. See, there's is that part of it, Mary? Is how you talk about yourself in that way, about saying how you feel today, is that part of conscious communications?
Well, so your question kind of reminds me of setting yourself up for a daily practice, because you asked the question, mm-hmm. Oh, you should remind yourself you feel like today's a good day, but not every day is a good day. So I think it's super important that to set up a daily practice, and one way to do that is with gratitude. So, like, when you ask somebody, what is the best thing that happened for you today, you could set them up to give you a positive response, or to focus on something that happened good versus something that happened bad. Or, like, what are you passionate about right now? You know, that really sets someone up to give a positive answer, where they're going to probably use empowering words. And, you know, and also just, like, creating daily affirmations, too.
Absolutely. And there's so much we're going to get into today, really talking about the power of your words. And I think this is really critical, because I think it's really easy to dismiss words as not having any meaning or power, but they actually are very powerful, and they're speaking to your subconscious mind. But then also, I love how you say, if you are talking to someone else, the way you speak to them, in addition to the way that you speak to yourself, sets not only yourself up for success, but other people that you interact with, which I think is equally as crucial, isn't it? Because we're social beings. We're always interacting with other people. And if we want to have successful relationships, not to mention a meaningful life and a happy life, the words that we choose are actually incredibly powerful, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you've got a really great point there, because you know, think about it from the perspective of when you make someone feel good. So when you talk to them in a way that makes them feel good, makes them feel empowered, you're actually like raising their energy up. And I think that there's a ripple effect to that. So, like, you know, the ripple effect of their positive, empowering energy like pings back to you. And we just feed,
beautifully said.
We feed off each other.
It's so true, don't we? We really do feed off one another. And so I think it's really crucial to learn how to interact better with other people. But also, so let's talk about, so Mary, first of all, I always love to have our listeners have a framework for, so of course, we're going to be talking today about how to, you know, harness the power of your words and how this can literally change your mind, which when we're talking about mind, we're talking about neuroplasticity. Is that right? But then also how it changes your choices. I know that you were talking about how you were at a Tony Robbins event, and then out of that you noticed that you all of a sudden felt like you had like 10,000 different possibilities about the direction your life could go. That's a paraphrase, but then so we're talking about the power of words, but to give people a frame of reference, can you tell us a little bit about what brought you to this point to helping people with this? And I also know that you're an entrepreneur, and I would love to hear just a little bit about your background so that people have a frame of reference. And then congratulations also on being a Hay House author. And also maybe we can talk a little bit about, you have an upcoming event, is that correct? Coming up in, I know you were just at a Hay House event. You just came back from an event. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Mary, if you could tell us just a little bit more about your background and what brought you to where you are today and helping people really change the way that they talk to themselves and other people and how that changes the course of their lives.
Well, the thing that most people pick out about me that they're typically the most captivated or fascinated by is just, you know, how I've overcome so much adversity and tragic circumstances to recover and create a successful business, have a speaking career, as well as, you know, now this book and even moving on to a second book. And so I don't want to go into the whole history of it, but I've been out on my own since I was 16. And then in 1993, my daughter Haley passed away after a very profound brain injury that left her in a vegetative state, like blind, deaf.
Oh.
But at such a young age, it was...
So sorry.
It was... Thank you. It was really like a nightmare, living in children's hospitals and the extent of medical care that was necessary for her that I had to be personally hands-on with. Like, for example, I would need to suction her lungs every 4 hours, 24 hours a day, and I had to do that with a thin tube that was threaded through her nostril down to her lungs. And so you can imagine how intimidating that is with, like, a little baby nostril and... And then my son was diagnosed with autism, and he's 17 now. So it's like the very lonely life of being a single mom of a autistic child, and you're raising someone that there's really no rule book. But then also like my up and down, you know, like when you're an entrepreneur, you know, life is like a roller coaster. So I think that that's really what draws people in is like, well, how does someone go from these tragic circumstances and instead of like becoming a victim and feeling disempowered, but instead really honing in to the empowering part of your story and learning how you just create greater and greater greatness based on what you've learned and the strengths that you've gained versus what you've lost.
I love how you say that, Mary, and I know that we're going to be talking about your book today, Conscious Communications. And when you were talking about kind of latching onto the empowering parts of your story, that struck a chord with me because I work with people in health and wellness, and so sometimes people are very ill, and what someone else was just saying was that they just wanted someone to hear their story and believe their story. And I think that's relevant when something really intense or tragic is going on. But the flip side of that is that, you know, we all have a story, and of course I think part of it is not being attached to your story as much as you can. However, we're human beings and we're walking through life, and I really love how you say sort of look at the empowering parts of your story, because isn't that what's going to help you change the way that you first look at yourself, and then out of that how you talk to yourself, right? And then I know that you have certain tactics that you talk about in your book, like there's self-talk and spoken words and affirmations and goals and gratitude that we can get into. But I love how you say that. Is that one of the first steps, Mary, is how you look at your quote-unquote story?
So I think that I've got a process in the book. So the book has coaching exercises in every chapter. And in the second chapter, there is a process to rewrite your story. And so you've brought up several points here that are important. So the first thing is to understand that when we retell the tragic parts of our story, we're actually reinforcing the neural networks that created the story in the first place. So we're strengthening that neural network more than we're strengthening the neural network for the empowering piece. So that's just like part number one that I want to mention. But also, this as a human, we need to feel validated. And so when people need to feel validated, it's important to let them out and then express to them, oh, that, you know, that must have been really hard, or I can completely understand, you know, how you got where you are today. And then since you're in a practice where you're actually providing help for them, you know, that's a healthy environment for them to get that story out and for you to provide that validation. On the other side of it is like when we really get into telling these stories to create connections with other people. You know, like if I'm at a dinner party, someone says like, oh, what's your story? And I'm like, well, you know, my daughter died and this, and then they are feeling connected to me from a place of empathy, that's a different, like, it's a different, and it kind of is a little draining even. You know, I hate to say that, but it's true.
It can be.
It doesn't, when they're reflecting on how they feel about Mary, empowering is not going to be the word that they think of. So what I'm suggesting is that we loosen the grip on the attachment we have to our stories. And I do think that there's healthy places to share those stories. But when you're at the dinner party, you know, share the empowering part of the story, because that will help you build the connections in your mind that will make your empowerment muscle even stronger and stronger and stronger, and that's how you build resilience.
Love that. And that, okay, so that is a really, really crucial point. So can you explain to people, so we're talking about literally rewiring your brain, which is known as neuroplasticity. And can you explain to people what is the concept of resilience? Why is that so important? Because when we're talking about how you talk to yourself, and if you want to, why is resilience so important, Mary? Because is that connected to changing the course of our life? Because I think where people get stuck is what we say to ourselves over and over again, what we think our story is and what we tell ourselves our story is, and then obviously, that's not creating what's known as resilience, right? Because then we're just feeling stuck. But resilience is, are you able to describe that? Isn't that about the ability to move on from our current storyline? Or maybe you can describe it a little bit better.
Well, I think the most beautiful part about your story is in the part where you moved on. I'm kind of picturing in my mind those old Rocky Balboa movies. And remember his original coach, and he would say, it's not about how you can hit. It's about how many times you can get hit and get back up. You know,
so true.
When life knocks you down, are you going to stay down or are you going to get back up? And I don't have a hard definition of why resilience is so important. But, I mean, obviously, if you get knocked down and you stay down, I mean, why stay down for the rest of your life?
Right.
If you could move on and recover and thrive.
Absolutely. And then it's also even like what's beyond your current storyline and what does it look and feel like to thrive? And so let's talk about, so conscious communications, I'm reading from your book here, is a simple process that consists of eliminating negative language and using words that work and focusing on you want. So could you talk us through a little bit more about what's involved in that? And I have here, you know, your do not say list, not wanting to. So again, it's really important about how we frame things, right? Like, isn't it, it's super, super important to, we don't want to say what we don't want. Isn't that right? Because that's not setting ourselves up for success.
Well, it is amazing how many times when you ask somebody what they want, they start giving you the list of all the things that they don't want. But what that tells me is that their ability to even answer that question easily shows me how strong their neural networks are in one direction or another. So if I ask somebody what they want and they just start telling me like all their problems in life, well, then they're strongly wired to be focused on, because what you focus on, you create. And you know, becoming aware of the choices that you're making that are leading to these situations is super helpful. And the first entry point is really to figure out what is it you want and find a way that you're focusing on that more and more. So, you know, the focus piece is really important. And then you can use, you know, some of the things you can use to adjust your focus is like the daily gratitude practice and the affirmation practice.
Wonderful. And so, Mary, and just on that note, so we're going to share this a little bit more, but you actually have a companion to your book. So if anyone's looking on the show page, now a lot of people listen from their phones and they're not necessarily seeing a page. So you can go to maryshores.com/companion. And isn't this a companion to your book, Mary? Where do you have some of these exercises in there to help people kind of walk them through the process? Yeah.
All of the coaching exercises in the book are in the companion guide. And I love creating this beautiful companion books or guidebooks or workbooks, personal development challenges, where the exercises are already mapped out for you. So you don't have to try to use up your journal or write in your book. You can just follow right along in the guidebook, and the space is provided for you to do the journaling and create the charts and fill out the things that you need to fill out.
That's fantastic. And so, Mary, let's dive in. So we'll mention that again for anyone who's listening, or you can find the companion to her book, Conscious Communications. Mary, let's talk a little bit about – so I was actually curious about a couple things. First of all, let's talk about – the barrier, let's see, how do you call this in your book? Is it barrier? I'm trying to find it in here again.
Barrier.
Is it barrier beliefs? Go ahead.
Yeah, great. So, you know, I discovered, or my way of discovering barrier beliefs is in my career, I'm a debt collector. I own a collection agency, and it's a very unique collection agency because I actually created a system that helps people feel good about paying their debt, because having a debt is a psychological burden, and it's a burden that will keep people down. And what I mean by that is having a debt actually causes such a severe feeling internally of shame and unworthiness, and also like punitive discipline.
Okay.
So it's very important. And like, so for example, if someone has a debt, then they're not likely to apply for the same job. They're not likely to apply for a mortgage, and they're not even likely to date the same person because they won't feel good enough. You know, at the end of the day, you don't feel good enough, that's going to really hold you back. And so it becomes like a brick wall between you and the life you lead. But that's true in all areas of your life. And I've heard it called for many years limiting beliefs, but I think it's actually deeper than that. I think it's actually like a brick wall. It's a complete barrier between you and what you want. And it's I mean, even like my own story, I wanted to write a book for 10 years, and I would go around, and my mantra was, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. Well, words are what reveal your barrier beliefs, because the words you speak are like a mirror to your subconscious programming. And when you hear the words, I want to write a book, it's like you're looking into my soul and you're seeing it written on my soul that I want to write a book, like it's my purpose in this lifetime. But the words that I'm not a writer are completely out of alignment with that. And the words, I'm not a writer, are also a mirror to my subconscious. And it's revealing that there is a somewhere, somehow, some way from the past, there is a barrier belief that was created. Like maybe the belief was that I thought I had to have a PhD in English, or maybe the belief was that I had to be well-connected in the publishing industry. It doesn't even matter what it is, because the solution to it is to begin to take action in the direction that you want.
So can you, so Mary, can you expand on a little bit more? I hear you saying that that's the solution to a barrier belief, and I love how you say that, because that really does describe how it feels. I think that's much more accurate, because it really paints a picture of it feeling like a barrier in your mind and in your body, and of course in your life, because it's creating a barrier between what you want, what you desire, and who you are, and how you currently see yourself.
Sure.
So is the answer? Go ahead.
If you want to break through your barriers, to break through your barrier, the easiest way that I know to do that is to take action in the direction of what you're looking for. And I just want to make a point for the listeners that it's not just about writing a book. You know, how many times do you hear someone say, I want to start a business, but I don't have enough money, or I want to start a business, but I don't have the education, I want to lose weight, but I don't have time to go to the gym. You know, so it's like we always say this, like what we want. And then we negate it by saying the excuse of why we can't have it. So the excuse or the, you know, whatever is the but is going to reveal to you what your belief is. And so from that point, it's like, well, what can I do to step in that direction? So for me, like I, since somewhere deep down inside I didn't believe I could do this, the first thing I needed to do is invest in myself. And that's true for all of us. Like it's, you are always going to be happy when you're investing in yourself. And so I started going to like writer's workshops, and I just started by, you know, answering the writing prompts, started learning some skills, and, you know, began writing little short stories, and people were really affected by them. And people became more and more interested in my story. So, you know, that's an example of taking a step in the direction of where you want to go or where you want to be.
That's fantastic. I really love how you just say just the antidote is to take action, because I think we sometimes get stuck in, well, what else could I say to myself, which I think is really important. Obviously, it's very important to change what you're saying to yourself, but I think along with that, it's the taking action part of it, I think, which is so critical, because that's going to give you a sense of confidence immediately or very near in the future, right, if you start taking action on what it is that you really desire.
Because it is building that muscle, you know, that empowerment muscle, and it's giving you confidence, and it's creating a lot of strength within your system. So that, you know, I love a saying that I heard Reed Tracy, the CEO of Hay House, say, it's that it takes 10 years to become an overnight sensation. And we all hear that thing about the 10,000 hours, but like the more you practice a skill, you know, whatever it is, then you're going to get stronger and stronger at that skill.
It's so true. And what what Reed is referring to for anyone who's listening is it takes like 10,000 hours to master something. And so that again implies that action. It's action is such a great antidote to anxiety, I think. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, just taking that first step, and it does help you build that confidence and also helps you to build that resilience. And let's take a really, really short break, and then everyone who's listening, some of us are listening live and some people will be listening to the podcast. We're going off the air in about 8 minutes, but listen back because Mary and I will continue for a few more minutes after this podcast goes off the air. And make sure to listen back if you are listening live, because we're going to talk a little bit more about Mary as a Hay House author and maybe how you can get involved with working with her, and any more information you'd like to know about Mary Shores and her book, Conscious Communication. So we'll be right back. You're listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, welcome back to The Wellness Coach. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and my very special guest today is Mary Shores. She is the author of the book Conscious Communications, Harness the Power of Your Words to Change Your Mind, Your Choices, and Your Life. And there's so much that we could talk about today. I definitely encourage you to pick up a copy of the book. And also, if you go to Mary's website, type in this address, http://maryshores.com/companion, or just maryshores.com/companion to pick up your companion to the book. And Mary, isn't that a free worksheet that you offer people, or is that free? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, well, that's a whole 36-page companion guide. So it's much more than just one sheet.
Wonderful.
It's 36 pages, and they can download it directly from our website. And if you don't remember the forward slash, just go to maryshores.com. There's a page called Free Gifts, and you can check that out, and any other free gifts we might be using right now.
Wonderful. And then, so Mary, I have a question I want to ask you that's related to the nervous system. But first, can you tell us, so you just got back from a Hay House event, and what else is on the horizon for you with Hay House?
Well, yeah, I got back from the Hay House Writers Workshop, which was in Orlando, mm-hmm. Florida, and I was a speaker talking to, you know, all the potential writers in the audience. It was really an exhilarating experience to hang out with Mike Dooley and Nancy mm-hmm. Levin, which are also other best-selling Hay House authors, get to know some of the mm-hmm. staff there, and even get to spend a tiny bit of time with Reed Tracy, the CEO.
Awesome.
As far as what's
that
coming
so
up
awesome.
Next with Hay House in the short term, I know I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live from their page because I want to do like a teach a master class off of their page.
Awesome.
I don't have it scheduled yet,
okay.
but it'll be coming. If you follow the Hay House page, you know,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably get notified about it. And then potentially going out to California to teach a lunch and learn right there at their office.
Oh, that is so exciting. And congrats again on being a Hay House author. And that is such a huge honor. And I know I've been to their events, and they're really amazing and very inspiring. And that's so amazing that you were one of their speakers as well. So, yeah, there's nothing like a Hay House event. It's definitely, talk about taking action. It's a great way to get fired up. And really, isn't part of it also when we come, you know, again, coming back to, you know, talking, like kind of our interactions with other people, can also set us up for success, not only what we say to other people, but just being inspired by other people. Can't that help change your mindset as well and how you approach life? I mean, I know you had an experience of going to a Tony Robbins event. Isn't that right? And wasn't that very helpful for you in terms of getting motivated?
This last event that I went to, you know, one thing I heard over and over again after I spoke was that I gave them hope and inspiration.
Yeah.
And what I mean
yeah.
by that is they're at a workshop, you know, they're learning about writing a proposal, they're learning about writing, and they were at a space in the workshop where they were feeling overwhelmed. And then I came in, you know, with like, hey, you know, I did this, you can do it too, and here's how I did it. This is what I can share, you know, that worked. And people just over and over telling me like, yeah, so I think that when you go from this place of feeling overwhelmed and then you can shift mm-hmm. your mindset into feeling more hope and inspiration, then you're much more mm-hmm. likely to take action versus when you're
yes.
just sort of stuck. If you're stuck in the overwhelm, then you're more likely to procrastinate.
Oh, what a brilliant point. And so that kind of leads to my question about the nervous system, because I know you address that in your book as well. So what a great point, Mary, that when you're stuck in overwhelm, that keeps you procrastinating. I mean, that is a really brilliant point, in addition to some of the other points that you've made today. So can you tell us a little bit about the nervous system, because I know that it stores trauma. It stores our past traumas, and which you talk about in your book, and it can tend to be reactive. Again, this is from your book. But can you share with us how does one move out of that state? Is it related to how you speak to yourself, or how does one move out of that place where we kind of feel like our nervous systems are kind of stuck in fight or flight?
Well, we're living in a time where our nervous systems are being overstimulated all the time. So we have notifications going off from our computers all day, from our phones. I mean, even just driving through traffic can trigger your nervous system. And what it's doing is it's creating stress chemicals. So it's creating adrenaline and cortisol and some other things that sort of get you all juiced up and ready to fight. And the problem is that we don't have a way of calming down from that. So then when we get around like our family or our relationships, we're more likely to snap because we've been overwhelmed, say, 5 hours ago. But that energy has
right.
to come out somehow, some way. And so the
mm-hmm.
more that you can do, and I think that what we suggest in the book is to create like a Zen 10, which is like a method of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Say like, what
mm-hmm.
are the activities
yeah.
you can do that will calm your nervous system and stimulate your you're parasympathetic, which is the opposite of fight or flight. It's the rest and digest.
Yes. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love how you say Zen 10. And, yeah, definitely for me, yoga really helps. And I think it's really true. I think that in this modern world, we tend to be stuck in overdrive and overwhelm. And I think that, and I love how you said, again, though, that if your nervous system is feeling overwhelmed, it leads to procrastination. And so, again, that's another really great point, Mary, in addition to kind of like how we tell ourselves, you know, what we say about our stories and how we talk to ourselves. Mary, we have just a few minutes left here. Are there any major takeaways that you want to make sure that our listeners get from you today as they're continuing on their journey here?
I would like the listeners to really know that every choice they make is creating their life all around them. And so it's your choices that are, you know, that's the third part of that, change your mind, your choices, and your life. Excuse me, the second part. So when you get mindful of your choices, like sometimes even just awareness to choices is the key to your freedom. And I've got a huge section in the book that it sort of tells you how to make choices, because a lot of times we're put in a situation where we have to choose between two things and we may not know what is the best choice. And so I teach in the book how to make connected choices, meaning like how to make choices that connect you to the future you want versus choices that disconnect you from the future that you ultimately want.
So Mary, that's a really great point. So is it okay to go just a little bit deeper into that? Because I think that's another really important point here. Because again, it's always in the know, knowing how to do something and how to implement it. So can you say that again for us and then maybe break it down a little bit so people understand how to implement that wisdom on a really kind of very practical level?
Sure. What I'm talking about is that every choice you make in the thin slice moments of life, every word you speak, every action you take, everything you say or do is always connecting you or disconnecting you from the life of your dreams. And so chapter 5 in my book is called Cleanse or Clog. And it's really about how we have infinite possibilities available to us in life. And I think that we all agree with that. But the problem is that we don't understand how it's our own actions and choices that are maybe creating a lot of chaos for us versus creating the things that we actually want. Because possibilities doesn't mean necessarily good outcomes. It just means anything is possible. And so when you follow the advice in the book, you can quite naturally just learn a simple way, I call it cleanse or clog, of asking yourself, you know, will this choice cleanse me or clog me? Meaning ultimately that every choice is either creating a deeper connection to living the life you want or driving a disconnection and getting you further away from living the life you want.
And it's so true. And my wish for people, I mean, I'm very grateful to you for reminding us of this, because it's really, really important, right? Because we're talking about quality of life here and happiness and fulfilling your purpose. And I mean, I know even in your book here, you know, you have these concepts that I think you got these from, is this from Tony Robbins, where it's always know your outcome and what you focus on grows. And kind of what you just said, and we were talking earlier about what you focus on grows, and that's going to, of course, help build that neuroplasticity that we were talking about. But I love this also, the concept of always know your outcome. Isn't that kind of tied to what you were just saying? Because it's when you kind of talk, and I love how you say, Mary, about like talking about like looking at your life and those thoughts that you're thinking and those words that you're saying to yourself, kind of breaking it down into those thin slices of how you talk to yourself and where you want to see yourself going. I love this idea of when you know your outcome, it takes those possibilities, all those infinite possibilities, right? And you're visualizing. I mean, is it visualizing where you're going? Is that part of it? Is that what knowing your outcome means? Or is it, it's fascinating to me how the process works of knowing where you're going and also really being very clear and mindful, you use the word mindful, about really where you are and how you can work with those, that energy and those thoughts and that energy of where you are in the moment to know where you're going to go in the future. Is it you know where you're going to go because you're being positive and mindful? Is that what it means to know what your outcome is?
So there's lots of different things. The reference that you're talking about in the book, the example that I give for know your outcome, it's really like this process I created called end result thinking. So when you think in terms of the end result, you can reverse engineer because you ask yourself, you know, what is it that you want? And then you can ask yourself, what are six things that need to be true in order to create this thing that I want, this goal? Because we talk a lot about goal setting and how you can use goal setting to get what you want. But there's so many things. It's not just one thing. It's not just visualization. It's not, you know, you've mentioned a lot of things. And so it's not just any one of those things. It's all of those things.
Okay.
Or just getting really strong at one of those things. So one of my early ones was when I was developing my process for collections and I was documenting the entire process, I just looked at the phone and it's just a small step, but I said, I want the next person who calls to be happier at the end of the call than they were at the beginning of the call.
Okay.
And
very specific.
Just right there. Yeah. So then my mind, you know, it was automatically stimulating the problem-solving sectors of my mind to feed me what it is that I needed to do in order to make that person happier. And it worked.
Wow. Amazing. That is amazing. And it's just, it's so empowering, I think, to me to, I mean, I think these are really powerful tools and skill sets that you're teaching people. And again, I love the part about putting it into action and sort of, you know, really knowing where you're going. And then, you know, so again, what you tell yourself is going to help you get where you want to be, right? Because you're setting, it's like you're able to, how did you phrase that again, Mary, that section of your book? What did you call that again?
Which section?
When you're talking about, you know, knowing your outcome, you said you have a term that you use for that.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about knowing your outcome somewhat in the very first chapter. The first chapter is a lot about focus, and in the last chapter, when that's when we're going to like take what you've learned about focus, use it to create a goal, and then use it to create a one-page action plan. So I called that end result thinking.
End result thinking, right? Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So again, so many tools, and there's so much more we could go into, but we're running out of time here. So again, Mary, we have just a few moments left, and we just want to remind people that they can go to Mary's website, maryshores.com, and click on free gifts, and you can get the companion, which is about 36 pages. It's a companion to the book, Conscious Communications. And Mary, thank you so much for all these really great topics and takeaways. Is there anything else that you would like to say before the end of our interview here today?
Yeah, I'd like to invite the listeners that they can connect with me via my website, maryshores.com, as well as I run a Facebook group that's an exclusive Facebook group to people that are either following me or doing any of my personal development challenges, including reading the book and going through the guidebook. And that is Fearless Ambition on Facebook. So that's a super fun group, and we put up like daily prompts in that group. And also, of course, jump on Amazon and order a copy of Conscious Communications. It definitely hit number one bestseller in self-esteem. It was number two in communications and number three in happiness. And it actually hit those numbers on Friday the 13th, which was super fun.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. So that was not too long ago. You mean Friday the 13th of
October,
yes. Wow, congratulations. So, Mary, that's amazing. And it's so great to have you here. And thank you so much for all of your wonderful insight. And congratulations on all of your success. And it's really great to have you here. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here.
Thank you so much, Mary. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. And my very special guest again today is Mary Shores. She's a Hay House author of the book Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And again, go to maryshores.com. And you can find out more information about Mary. Click on Free Gifts to get the companion guide to her book, Conscious Communications. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have an empowered, inspired, beautiful rest of your day and week and life. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Take care.